Hello and welcome to the Pain in the Arsenal podcast. My name is Andrew Dalbot. I'll be here with Josh and Henry discussing all the good and bad about Arsenal Football Club. Let's get started.
Hello and welcome to episode 31 of the Pain in the Arsenal podcast. And we are here, all three of us, Henry, Josh and myself, Andrew, in a quite a sad moment, but special moment, because the time of Arsene Wenger at Arsenal is very nearly coming to an end. He released quite a somewhat beautiful statement. I was genuinely teary-eyed when reading it on Friday morning, that essentially said that he was going to leave the club at the end of the season. He wished fans well. He said that he wanted them to continue the character and the values of the club beyond his departure. Josh, what are your initial feelings about Wenger going? It was a little bit of a shock, really, but are you happy, sad, distraught, crying? I don't know. What are you feeling today?
Pretty much all of them. Since I'm American, I woke up to the news that Arsene Wenger was leaving, which is always a fun thing to have to wrap your head around first thing in the morning. I don't know. I mean, I'm sad, obviously, because he's Arsene Wenger, and I don't think you're ever going to see anyone else like him come through. Somebody who had so much class. We talked about this before before we started recording, but even the people that didn't like Wenger, that ardently wanted him out, would say that they still had some respect for him. And you're seeing that now. And I don't know. I mean, it's hard to see that leave a club because, for as long as I've been a fan, Arsene Wenger's been here. I don't know what it's like to question the moral fiber of my manager. I don't know what it's like to not like his character, because there's nothing not to like about Arsene Wenger's character. So from that from that perspective, it's sad, but I'm excited because it's a fresh start, and we all kind of agree that it's needed. We don't want it to have to be like this, but it is time. And so there's just a lot of things: sad, excited, happy, relieved. I don't know, just all of them. Pick an adjective and it'll work.
Yeah. I think I don't think you're the only one feeling that. Put it that way, Henry. How did you take the news? Were you as distraught as us two, or were you a bit more a bit happier?
Oh no, I was visibly shaking. I was upset. I was weirdly very nervous. And I did have that underlying excitement, but mostly it was just I was upset because, as Josh said, he's the only man that I've ever known to be sitting in that chair at Arsenal Football Club. I was telling Josh just before we started recording, I can't actually think of a much better time to announce this move, even though there was no speculation that it was forthcoming. We now have the next glut of games to give him a fantastic send-off. And I'm sure this sadness will pass, but right now I want to dedicate this part of the show and this day to him, because he is not only a footballing great, but he is a gracious and tenacious man.
Yeah, I think that's very true. I think I was speaking to one of my mates who was talking about, well, who do you want next? And we'll touch on that later in the program. But I kind of said Arsenal fans have this weird importance of the character of the manager more than just the qualities that he has on the pitch, because of the character of Wenger, more than him just being a brilliant manager, although perhaps in later years that was a bit more debatable. It was as much his character and the way that he held himself, the way that he interacted with fans, the way that he carried himself at the AGM, for example, the willingness to sign autographs for people, the patience that he had, the way that he dealt with the media. It was all of those kind of qualities that actually really endeared Arsenal fans to him, as much as the success that he had as well.
I mean, I've told this story once before, but there was an instance when I was around 10 years old where Arsenal came to Cardiff and I got Aaron Ramsey's autograph, and I waited in the hotel lobby where they were staying. And I desperately wanted his autograph because, as you say, he is Arsenal Football Club for many people. And there were players there who had Beats on before Beats were cool, and they were dressed in all black, and they had that kind of mindset of they were making a beeline towards the bus. But not only did he stop to sign the book that I had, he chatted with me for a few minutes. And I think the character point that you make is so, so true. And I hope that whoever replaces him has a similar level of integrity. Because
yep.
That's going to be very difficult for anyone to match moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, put it this way, I'm glad Jose Mourinho's not in the picture to replace Arsene Wenger.
Yeah, it's weird though, because I'm sure he would actually do a very good job of winning trophies, except it would be so much more boring than it already is. But
I think really that's the measure of Wenger's impact, influence, and tenure, is that actually, more than just being a brilliant football manager, which he was, he led so many players as men. He always talks about Lauren Cascione, doesn't he? How he developed him as a man and as a player. And I think it's that, the human side of him, that is actually as important, if not more important, than his managerial credentials as well.
I think one of the things that's always sort of attached me to Wenger, and what really solidified me whenever I was a poor, ignorant American looking for a favorite team, was just, I've always looked for loyalty in my teams. And that's one of the main things I attach to, because I think it's one of the things that's really dying out in sports. Players and managers, they just don't stick around. They're in it for personal gain. They're in it to make themselves the best that they can be. There's no shame in that. I mean, you know, obviously everybody wants what's best for them. I have no doubts that if Arsene Wenger wanted to, he could have won the Champions League. He could have gone to Real Madrid, to PSG, and made something different for himself. But I also have no doubts that he ever wanted that. I for him, it was only ever Arsenal. And I think that's something that, honestly, it makes it easy to be a fan when you have a manager that cares that much about the club, because that's one question you never have to ask. You never have to ask, well, what's he in it for? He's always been in it for Arsenal. And I've always detested people that say, oh, he's in it for himself, he's getting this paycheck. That's complete bullshit. He's only ever cared about this club. He didn't allow himself to have, he didn't even entertain the thought of going anywhere else, because he wanted everything for this club more than he wanted anything for himself.
Yeah, I mean, if people get the chance, I would highly recommend they read Amy Lawrence's piece that she's done today about this being the last big relationship that football has. And it's so very true. There'll be plenty of fantastic articles and tributes written over the next week or so, but that's a great one to start.
Yeah, yeah. And I was speaking to somebody else earlier, and they were like, well, you know, what's going to happen with, you know, the managerial search? What kind of things do Arsenal look for in a manager? And I didn't know, because it's been 22 years since they've done it. Like, the long-term nature of that relationship, and the fact that Wenger is so loyal and so committed to the club for over two decades, is completely and utterly unique in almost all sport, and especially football, which is a particularly fickle sport. Those kind of relationships don't really exist anymore, whether it be manager, player, or even kind of personnel people or scouts or directors. Even they don't really last for that long. They will tend to last longer than a few years like managers, but they don't last for two decades. I mean, that's, you know, if you think about a normal person's career, let's say they work for 40 years, 50 years, essentially Wenger spent half of his career in one job. I mean, that is the definition of loyalty, isn't it? That is incredible commitment to a cause that is bigger than himself, a cause that is a club, rather than just getting that paycheck, like you were saying, Josh.
I mean, you talk about scouts. The one tribute that I did actually see today was from Danny Carbassayoun, who formerly played for Arsenal. But he, I'm not sure whether he's still a scout, but you can see the kind of... Is he still a scout in North America or in Central America?
Yeah.
But regardless, to see that he has that kind of influence, and it's so wide-ranging in terms of not only players, not only other managers, but former player to an extent, but also he's a colleague if you look at it in that way as well. Oh, I'm so upset. And I just, my love for the man is only growing right now. And the horrible thing is, as I was also telling Josh before we started, there are reports that he's going to continue in management. And I know I wanted him gone, but I don't want him going anywhere else. Give him a board position, give him anything, pay the man $10 million a year for him to stay. I don't want him going anywhere. As David Dean said all those years ago, it's Arsene for Arsenal and nothing else.
When I read that, I was scared that he was going to end up at Chelsea when Conte leaves at the end of the year. I was like, oh no, don't do it.
That's why they sold Giroud there.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
He went to scout out the place.
Yeah, they're preemptively planning for Wenger to join up with him. I was getting so scared. I was like, oh no, please don't go to Chelsea. I mean, I think for Wenger himself, if he does stay in management, I think there's probably only two jobs that he could take, unless if he went to the MLS or to China, and that would be PSG or the French job.
It could possibly be Monaco, though, if Jardim leaves and comes to us.
Yeah,
Monaco's
possible, and then even, I guess, maybe a Barca is possible.
Possibly.
But I'd be surprised.
I mean, he has the legacy, but unfortunately, the world is a place of what have you done for me recently? Recently, he hasn't done much, but he's an anomaly in terms of the fact that he revolutionized the game of football. And people will be willing to look past the recent struggles because of what he's done for the game. I mean, if you compare him to Sir Alex Ferguson, there's no doubt that Sir Alex Ferguson is the more successful. But if you were to ask me who's done more for the game, it's pretty simple.
Yeah, and Ferguson was a knob as well.
Although his statement was nice.
His statement was nice. It was like, at least Wenger was a nice person. Like, but I think, I mean, like, both PSG and France, for example, have pursued Wenger throughout his career for years and years and years and years. And this again points to your kind of comment about his loyalty, is that he has continually turned them down. And I'm fairly sure at some point in his career there isn't a big club in the world that hasn't offered him their manager's job at some point. I know Real Madrid have been interested in him. I bet Barca have. I bet there have been English clubs. I bet the national teams have as well. And Wenger's still stayed true to Arsenal. And I think because of that loyalty, I couldn't really see him managing anywhere else other than maybe France or PSG, and maybe Monaco.
You were talking earlier about, Andy, what do we look for in terms of a new manager? I mean, I don't know from a new perspective, but in my head, people were asking me similar questions. What are you looking for? I was instantly listing in my head similar traits traits of Arsene Wenger, if you will. I want him to be a man of integrity. I want him to be a fantastic recruiter, because I was looking through his transfers recently, and in spite of the fact that he's been here for the best part of 22 years. You look at the signing he's made, not a lot of them have been duds, if you will. A lot of them, if not have gone on to become really good players, they've gone on to represent Arsenal numerous times. I mean, we obviously want a manager who will bring an elaborate brand of football to the club, because even though that was a pillar of his early success, once again, that's something that's kind of faded in recent years.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm excited. When we discuss who could possibly replace him, I'm very, very excited. But this is his day.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I'm quite excited. I'm kind of intrigued and a bit nervous.
Because
you don't know. Because Arsenal has been so stable for so long, you kind of know what you're going to get with them. They're going to be attractive, they're going to be nice, and they're ultimately going to let you down. That's essentially who they are for the last 10-15 years. Who Arsenal are, they offer you hope and then they snatch it away from you. But at least you know that that's who they are. We don't know who they're going to be next year. Like, it's completely new, completely different, and very, very interesting.
See, I have to do my regular thing here and step in with a bit of optimism that I'm actually not surprisingly anymore. I'm not at all worried that they're going to make a bad decision. I think when
David
you think
Moyes
about,
is just making is going to be in my nightmares.
I can't imagine a single manager out there that wouldn't want this job. Not everybody's looking for a new job, but anybody who is, you wouldn't turn this away. Not just that, but all these people that not even Arsene Wenger, that the club have brought in, Sven Mislintat, Raul Sanyehi, these are top-of-the-line people. These are the kinds of people that you don't just stumble on. They're here for a reason. Whoever comes into this job next is going to be just as well thought out, just as integral to the future of this club. And it's not going to be a Sam Allardyce or a Alan Pardew, even though Alan Pardew is available.
No,
I know, it's a terrible joke. But it's not going to be someone like that. And even if it is somebody that maybe we didn't think of. I have faith in this club that they're gonna screen these people enough to know who is right. And I believe they've been doing it enough already, or doing it in some degree already, that this isn't just going to be a shot in the dark. This is going to be a well-researched appointment that I'm not that concerned about. I'm excited. I want to know who it is, but I'm not worried that it's going to be somebody that I dread. It's not going to be somebody stupid. It's not going to be a bad decision.
I mean, I'm looking forward to the Ivan Gazidis press conference, which is, I believe, in a couple of minutes. But I think a lot of credit has to go to him. Although, that being said, I'm not sure how much of an influence he has in terms of the recruitment of all these individuals such as Sun Leahy and Miss Linklet as such. But I would hope that they've already began their search in a weird way, not since the announcement was made that Wenger was going to leave at the beginning of the season. Surely there must have been even the slightest of ideas that he was leaving. But the more I read on it, the more I'm kind of gathering that this was a very quick decision that was made over the past 24 hours. So who knows?
Yeah, I mean, certainly, you know, there was a press conference yesterday and nobody even had an inkling that this was going to happen today. And you remember when Wenger signed his contract a little bit under a year ago, about 3 days before it was actually, like, people, there were reports saying on Wednesday or whenever it was, Wenger will sign his contract and it will be announced. And that was like 3 days beforehand. So there were clearly quite a few leaks coming out. And on this occasion, the exact opposite is true. Nobody had a clue. And actually, I had written articles on this, on why I thought Wenger was going to stay, just in terms of the recruitment that had been made, the lack of news, the fact that people like Thomas Tuchel was being linked with Paris Saint-Germain very heavily, and other environmental factors like that all kind of looked towards Wenger staying for at least one more year, and then at the end of his contract maybe looking for a successor. And then they dropped this bombshell on the Friday morning that essentially, you know, half the world wakes up to, that Wenger's leaving. And that, to me, shows that this is a bit of a shock and potentially a quick decision. But maybe that's a good thing, because if Arsenal had have lingered on it for a long time, they might not have made it. And I think, even however much admiration and respect we have for Wenger, I think there are few people who would say that this is a bad decision to make for the betterment of the club, even though we see Wenger as such a brilliant and charismatic leader. It was time for him to move on. So maybe the fact that they did it quickly might actually be a good thing. Josh, what is your kind of resounding memory of the Wenger era, if you have one, or resounding characteristic of the Wenger era?
It's kind of funny because I was so late in my Arsenal fanship. I still haven't got to see them win a title. I didn't really attach to Arsenal until around 2011. So I don't know what, I mean, I didn't see the Invincibles live. I didn't see any of that. I didn't even know the Premier League existed when that stuff was happening. So I don't know. I mean, that's a tough question to not be prepared to answer. So I don't know. Probably I love not one specific memory, but I love his prototypical goal celebration where he gets up, he walks to the touchline, he does the double fist pump.
The double fisted pump.
With that smile on his face. And then turns around and sits back down. I absolutely love it, and I always look forward to it. And the cameras are always looking for it, so they know that it's going to happen too. I mean, for lack of a better response right now, that's my favorite. Anytime I think of Arsene Wenger, I will always think of that. I will always think of him getting up from his seat and doing that. And it's kind of like the dessert to the entree that was the goal, because you always know it's going to be there, and you always look forward to it, and he never disappoints. Sometimes, though, his extra celebrations, like whenever he really gets into it, those are even better. But as far as a specific memory, it's hard to say. There have been so many. I mean, I'd like to say the first trophy I really saw them win, that the FA Cup when against Hull City. I remember exactly where I was when it happened. I was at some bar in North Carolina. It was the only place that was showing the game. We had to get them to turn it on the TV. Yeah. And I was there with my family, and they had no idea. Like, they weren't really. I had like three people in my family that were into the Premier League, and nobody else had any idea. But I was going absolutely apeshit. And when it went into extra time, they all wanted to leave, and I was like, well, I can't stay here because I didn't have my car, so I had to go. We had to go back, and while we were driving, stuff was happening. I was losing my mind because I knew that this was it was a big deal. And I got home and I watched it by myself, and I remember sitting there on a couch in this giant living room on a, in a beach house, and they won the game, and I just absolutely lost my mind. And it was the first time that I really remember feeling this sense of pride that I don't know how to put it, but this sense of pride that my team had done something special, which is silly because it was only an FA Cup. But, you know, I'm an American. I'm a late bloomer.
Yeah. Henry, other than meeting him, what was your... I mean, it doesn't have to be a memory. It could be a standout characteristic or just the theme to his tenure or something like that that you really kind of grab hold of.
I mean, for me personally, I was at the 2005 FA Cup final, and I remember watching Paul Scholes miss and Jens Lehmann making the save. And I was this tiny kid on my dad's shoulders watching the game. And we were like right at the back of the Millennium Stadium. We were miles away from the penalty kicks for the opposite end. And it was a day we were without Thierry Henry. And it was a pretty dull affair. Manchester United dominated the game. And then we won on penalties. Yeah, it was just
basically hung on for 120 minutes.
It was great. I mean, it was such an un-Arsenal-like performance, if you will, especially under Wenger. I mean, I didn't know it at the time. At the time, I was just like, yes, Arsenal have won. But, yeah that's my favourite memory, simply because I was there and I got to experience that moment. So,
yeah.
But he's given me memories besides that I'll take with me to the grave in terms of the Invincibles. I mean, that was the season I caught on to Thierry Henry, as I've said before. Besides Thomas the Tank Engine, the back of Thierry Henry's jersey was the first thing I saw on a television screen. So I've been hooked ever since. So, yeah.
I do want to point out, I guess, and maybe it's not the most flattering memory for Arsene Wenger himself, but when he shoved Jose Mourinho.
Yeah.
I think what made that so special, it's been talked about so much, but was that it was so unlike him. I mean, it was so unlike him that he didn't even get a punishment. I mean, he went over to a guy, he shoved a guy in front of everybody, and he didn't get punished just because everybody knew how good of a person he is.
You know, it took him 9 days to apologize as well. Took him 9 days to apologize. That's how much of a dick Mourinho is, and that's how accurate Wenger is in his assessment of Mourinho.
Although,
I mean, that's definitely one of my favorite moments for sure.
I will say Jose Mourinho's statement on Wenger was actually the first thing I read when I woke up. And it was actually a pretty charming thing for him to say about how, you know, even though we didn't see the respect that they had for each other on the pitch, that it was always there. And that's kind of how I see a lot of the fans. Like, even whenever they're lambasting Arsene Wenger, there's still that underlying respect, because how can you not?
Yeah. And I think even the people who kind of maybe didn't want him to go, but thought now is the time to move on, that's not exclusive to holding him in such high regard either. You can say both we want him to go and we respect what he's done. It's not like you can only have one or the other. The two are perfectly aligned. You can hold both beliefs perfectly alongside each other without them contrasting one another. I think for me, I don't know if it's a memory. Maybe my favourite moment was I was at Bramall Lane, Sheffield United away. It was in the FA Cup. It was, I think, fourth round or fifth round. Terrible game. Was 1-1, I think, after extra time. Went to penalties. And they had Paddy Kenny, fat Paddy Kenny, in there. And he had an injury down his left-hand side. And he kind of hobbled through the remaining kind of 20, 30 minutes with this injury. And it was clear that he couldn't dive to his left. So you saw Wenger go to all his Arsenal players and literally point to the bottom right corner, as it would be, the place where Paddy Kenny couldn't dive. He said, put your penalties there. Arsenal put all their penalties there. Patrick Vieira steps up for that. I think it was the fourth penalty of five, and they'd scored the other three. Strolls up, and he is looking like he's going for a walk in the park. It doesn't even matter. Strolls up, rolls the ball in the bottom right corner, and you see Paddy Kenny come up to Wenger after the game, and I'm in the stands, I can't hear what they're saying, but you can tell he's clearly asking him about his side and about the fact that he told all his players to put all his penalties the side that Paddy Kenny couldn't dive. And I just think it shows the will to win that Wenger has that is so often overlooked. I think because he's such a quality character, because he holds himself in such high regard, because he has such respect for people, it's very easy to overlook the desperation that he has to win. Like, he is absolutely desperate to win. There was when Steve Bould did the press conference a few weeks ago, because Wenger was ill, he was like, I've never met a man as desperate to win as Wenger is. And I think that's an element of his character that is so often overlooked and goes understated, purely because he's such a respectable and admirable man. And I think that pays testament to the brilliance of him, both in terms of his managerial qualities and also in his character qualities, in the quality of his personality, is that it's so kind of obvious that it actually overshines this element of him that is really, really important and is really, really crucial to the 22-year success reign at Arsenal. Is there anything that either of you want to add before we move on to our second part, where we discuss potential replacements?
No, I just saw a great tweet from someone like Gazidis walks out with Joey Barton. Who saw that coming? Although he's just got a new managing job though for the summer, even though he's coming off a ban.
Yes, he's just gone to Fleetwood, and but put it this way, he's good friends with the Fleetwood owner. that would be the best way of describing that little situation. Josh, have you got anything to add before we take a short break?
No, I think I've said my piece.
Okay, brilliant. So, I guess merci, Arsene Wenger. That's the kind of the message coming from the official accounts and stuff. It's very sad to see him go. I think everybody's agreed with that, even those who wanted him to go. Still find it sad that this is now the time that he's going. But he will move on, Arsenal will move on, and they will have a new manager next season. So after the break, we will discuss all the potential names, whether we like them, whether we don't, whether Brendan Rodgers should be anywhere near North London. So don't go anywhere, and we will see you in just a minute. Hello and welcome back to the Pain in the Arsenal podcast. I'm Andrew with Josh and Henry as usual, and we are discussing the future of Arsenal Football Club without Arsene Football Club, because Wenger at Arsenal, unfortunately, from the end of the year will be no more. So I will ask you two questions to get this discussion going, and then we'll talk a bit more depth. I want one name of who you think Arsenal might get. And even if you don't know, just pluck one. And I want one name of who you want Arsenal to get. And if you don't know, just pluck for one. So we'll go with you first, Josh.
I think who I think they will get, I'm very optimistic that they can get Allegri. And we were talking about this during the break, but there's been a lot of people linked to Arsenal, a lot of them. But I don't think anybody's been linked as, and this is kind of a dangerous word, but as realistically as Allegri. Where there's actually, like, he's actually talked about it openly. I do think that he wants more for himself than what Juventus can offer him. Mm-hmm. And he keeps winning there. I mean, it comes a point where you think, well, what more can I do? And I think he can find the answer to that at Arsenal. As far as who I want them to get, I mean, Allegri's my number two. I would love to see them get him. My number one would be Vieira, but I don't think that's going to happen. I thought that if they were going to get Vieira, it would be next summer if Arsene Wenger had seen out his contract. I don't think he leaves NYCFC now. I mean, he's undefeated in MLS right now. It's looking like that team is something really special. And even though it is only MLS, I don't think Patrick Vieira gives it up that easily. So yeah, that's my answer.
Right. So you think Allegri, but you would like Vieira.
Yes, but I would also like Allegri.
But you'd also like Allegri. Right. That was a very one-named answer from Josh there. Henry, what about you?
I'd like to kind of begin this by saying I really have no idea who's a good fit and who's not. I've obviously heard who's linked as such, but I honestly didn't think that he'd be going. I mean, personally, if they're going to hire someone, I think this is just me connecting dots now, considering what Wenger said in his press conference yesterday. He discussed Patrick Vieira a little bit. But if you're asking me who I would like, the most I know about the managers that have been linked with us, I know most about Julian Nagelsmann. I know a bit about his tactics and how he likes to play and disciple of the Klopp school of football, if you will, but a three at the back kind of shape. I don't really have an educated comment as of now, simply because this is so new and so fresh and I'm so shook. But if I was to say anything right now, I'd like Nagelsmann to take over. I like the idea of a younger coach coming in rather than Ancelotti, for example.
Yes. Yeah, I think I'm very much of the same thinking that... put it this way. This is probably the second hardest job in football history after replacing Sir Alex Ferguson. Mm. I think that's probably fairly fair to say. So whoever you're going to get in there, doesn't matter how experienced they are, it doesn't matter if they're Carlo Ancelotti and they've managed in, you know, every league in existence, pretty much. Mm. It doesn't matter how experienced they are, the job is going to be difficult and it's going to be extremely unique. So why not take a risk? Because if the person you're going to bring in is going to struggle it likely anyway, why not just try and hit it out of the park and bring in somebody who you could genuinely go and have a 5, 10, 15 year tenure with and enjoy some great success. For me, that man is either Vieira or Arteta. That's Mikel Arteta. The two both obviously have Arsenal connections. Arteta's been with Manchester City under Pep Guardiola. Per the kind of talk on the grapevine, he is very highly regarded there. He was a very intelligent footballer. He's reportedly a very intelligent coach, has quite a lot of impact at City, and he's essentially Guardiola's right-hand man there. And he wants to get into management, and he still likes Arsenal Football Club. That, for me, seems like a marriage that would work and is a risk worth taking. I think Vieira is risky as well. And then I think even somebody like Eddie Howe is extremely risky as well. But it's the type of risk, and Nagelsmann as well is the same kind of thing, it's the type of risk that you could get a 10-year payoff from. Mm. Somebody like Ancelotti, could you get a 10-year payoff from him? Absolutely not. Even Allegri, could you get a 10-year payoff from him? Maybe, but maybe not. I mean, he's never been at a club more than 4 years, 5 years, and throughout his time at Juventus, there have been significant rumours that he's going to leave, not just Arsenal, but a vast array of clubs as well. Then there's managers like Jardim. Would he stay for a long time? Nobody really knows. Unai Emery, he's never been at a club for a long time. Even Brendan Rodgers, for example, has never been at a club for very long. He didn't do very well at Liverpool. At Swansea, he was always looking to leave to go to a bigger club. And even at Celtic, you kind of always feel that he wants to move back to England or even a continental club. So there are lots of these managers who are good managers, but do they have the reward of having a 10-year tenure at Arsenal? I don't think so. But there are a few. Nagelsmann's one. I think Howe's one. I think Arteta and Vieira are both others. So for me, my favourite would be Vieira or Arteta. And I actually think that's where Arsenal will go. I think they will go for one of those two. But I don't really know anything, so
I think
we'll have to see.
I think I've said this previously, but I think as much as I would like a manager that's here for 10 years, I don't think it's something that we should discuss because I think it's so unlikely, especially in the climate. Because I've said already, Wenger's an anomaly in terms of his legacy and what he's been able to achieve. I wouldn't actually mind. I'm very envious in a weird way of Chelsea. I know it's very turbulent in terms of they have managers in and out, but it's a case of the one criticism I've had of this club in recent years, or the main one that I've had, is that we're not ruthless enough. We're the third most successful club in England. It's a case of we should be winning trophies. And I think next year I can understand, and I'd be willing to let it slide, someone not winning a trophy. But 2 years, 3 years, then we're really starting to think, okay, that's not going to slide here now. We need to go again. It's a case of I like the idea of bringing in an Allegri for maybe 2 or 3 years and then he goes, just so that we can kind of get that winning culture in the building rather than this stagnant apathy, if you will.
I think you're right that Arsene Wenger is an anomaly, but in that case, Arsenal is an anomaly too. I think that they demand different things. And one of the reasons I picked Allegri is because I think he's probably the most successful manager out there that I think you could get a longer tenure out of. I don't know why I think that. I have no reason to base this on anything. Mostly just that he's not as old as Ancelotti or
he
someone like
younger,
that.
Yeah.
Which is part of the reason I picked him. If I knew now that Allegri would come and leave in 3 years, I don't think I'd be as keen on him coming. I want somebody, like you said, that's going to be here for a while. Maybe that's just because it's what I'm used to, but I think that's an okay thing to be used to. I don't want to play the managerial roulette. I don't want to roll the dice on a new name every 3 years. I want somebody that's going to grow with the club, that's going to grow with the players, that isn't going to, that I don't want to uproot everything every half decade. That's honestly, it's stressful enough being an Arsenal fan, but that would just make it even more stressful, is having to push the reset time and time again. And that's why I love Vieira. I love the idea of Nagelsmann. If I'm going way off the book, Domenico Tedesco at Schalke, I would love that. I don't think that's ever going to happen, but his ability, he's very young and he's not afraid to try things. And I think that's the benefit you get in a young manager. And I think that should be one of the main things. I hadn't thought about Arteta. I'm ashamed to admit, maybe not ashamed, but I never really liked him as a player. Not him personally.
I hated him as a player, but
yeah. But maybe that, I mean, some great players are terrible coaches and some not so great players end up being great coaches.
Awesome thing.
So, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So yeah, I could get behind Arteta. I hadn't thought about it, but
it's both ideas, if you will, have merits and drawbacks, of course, like everything.
Yeah, clearly.
But it's just a case of, we've had this now, but as you said, this is going to be a really hard job for whoever's coming in, and they're always going to be compared. The first year it will be, Wenger did this. Second year, Wenger did this. Yeah. Third year, Wenger did this.
Yeah, Wenger wouldn't have done that.
I mean, it's a horrible position to be in. You need someone with a really strong character to come in and take that role. Yeah. And even if it's for a couple of years, I don't mind. I want trophies back at this club first and foremost. I love the romantic idea of coming in and developing with players. I'm all for that. But primarily, football is about winning. And Arsenal have always tended to have won.
Yeah.
In my opinion, that should be the priority with a new manager. Not necessarily this romantic idea of sign, develop, that kind of narrative.
Fair enough.
I like it though. I do like that narrative though.
It is going to be one of the hardest jobs ever, but and no matter what happens, even if it's not the manager completely, it's always going to fall on him, like you said, because would Wenger have done that? But that said, I don't know how many managers out there could walk into a role with more things already in place. They have a fantastic scouting system, Raul Sanyehi just got here. All of these people that they're bringing in, the new contract negotiator, all of these things, there are elite players here. There are so many resources at your disposal that, not that completely alleviates the pressure, but it sure as hell hope. It helps. And it's a manager that you don't even have to really enact huge changes. You just have to not screw up for a little bit. Let the team get used to you, get to know the team, just settle in. I mean, I don't want to downplay how big of a job it is, but I don't think that they're going to be asking that much out of this new manager.
I mean, it's interesting you bring up the point of developing, and then they'll already have a fantastic foundation, if you will, whoever comes in. They've got some fantastic players, but going back to your idea of this romantic development of players, we have a fantastic young group of players coming through at the moment. If you wanted to appoint someone who has a track record of promoting younger players and putting them into the team, so that'll be interesting to see as well. There are so many dynamics at play here. It's going to be fascinating to watch.
Yeah, I think for me, it's a case of I'm quite happy for Arsenal to take a little bit of a risk, actually. I'm not that bothered by them playing safe and just go. So, and Allegri is a different case because I think not only is he an outstanding manager, but he's an outstanding, fairly young manager. And you could probably say the same about Thomas Tuchel as well. And you could probably say the same about Leonardo Jardim, that they're not like the 60, 65-year-old manager who you know you're not going to be able to have for 5-10 years. My point about the job being so difficult is that you may as well take a risk, because Arsenal are a very stable club. They've got their commercial revenue is through the roof, and that's never really going to be kind of undermined by one poor managerial appointment. So they have the ability to be able to take a risk, and if it doesn't work in 2 years, they can say, well, I'm sorry, but you know, this didn't work, we'll go again, and now we'll look to steady the ship a bit more and go for perhaps a more experienced manager. I think now is the perfect time for them to swing for the fence and say, well, let's just have a go, let's go and get Nagelsmann and try and reinvent the whole culture of this club and really go for the whole hog, rather than saying, well, let's just kind of tread carefully and go for, you know, Brendan Rodgers, who has been there before, understands English football, is at least relatively talented.
You sound like Phil Thompson on, like, Soccer Saturday right now. Aren't there more English managers in the Premier League?
But that's...
they understand the game perfectly.
But I mean, for me, that's what I would I'd rather see Arsenal do, is go and take a bit of a risk. Whether they do that or not, obviously time will tell, but that's what I would like to see them do.
So I want to ask a question. I want to ask, who, of all the managers being linked, who do you think is just the absolute worst idea? And I mean realistic, not like Alan Pardew, because obviously he'd be terrible.
Brendan Rodgers.
Actually, Henry says Brendan Rodgers.
I've had a lot of exposure to him watching him at Swansea, and obviously the culture would be different if you came to Arsenal. At Swansea, it was very much a case of they had just come up from the Championship, and they realised very quickly that the opposition can't score without the ball, and they dominated teams with possession. Mm. Arsenal tend to do that anyway, and obviously their game plan under Rodgers would be more expansive. It's just the case of, maybe this is slightly snobby of me, but I just don't think he's of the desired level, not just for me, but for many others in terms of Arsenal Football Club. He's obviously had his success in Scotland. He got Liverpool very close to winning the title. What he did at Swansea was amazing. But I still don't think he's reached the upper echelon of... Yes, because even at that time, Liverpool were so volatile in terms of their league positions. They went from, what was it, second, and then... they finished eighth. That's what we're talking about. There was no real consistency at the top level. Celtic, obviously a fantastic club with probably the best fan base in the world, I would argue. But not quite at the highest level, which is why for me, it's a no. It's a hard no.
Yeah, Rodgers would be fairly low on my list. He wouldn't be bottom, but...
Who would be?
Certainly, if Arsenal signed Rodgers... or hired Rodgers today or tomorrow, I would be pretty depressed. I'd be wanting Wenger back, put it that way.
This is interesting, though, because I've just had this come through from the press conference. Gazidis cites three values for a potential new coach. They are a progressive, exciting football philosophy.
Patrick Vieira.
A good representative of the club.
Patrick Vieira.
And an integrator of young players.
Also Patrick Vieira.
There we go. Hello. It's Patrick Vieira. Sorted.
I'll wait at the airport to see when Vieira flies out.
Can you imagine if Per Mertesacker just says, psych, I'm not coaching the academy anymore. I knew this before all of you.
I think he would be the only manager that could be taller than Arsene Wenger. He'd follow him. It would be like a new record. Starting off with a new record.
I think, for me, bottom of the list would be Carlo Ancelotti. And actually, what you say there from Ivan Gazidis is that's what I want to hear in their search for a manager, is that they're going to play attacking football, They're going to be representative of the club. They're going to have young players. He says elsewhere, we are recording this as the press conference is going on, so that's why we're kind of drip-feeding it in. He also says, it's important to me that we continue the football values that Arsenal has instilled in the club, someone who plays exciting football, and then he goes on to list the list that Henry's just read out. That, to me, is also very important. Has somebody who is able to continue the football values that Arsene Wenger has instilled at the football club. Carlo Ancelotti isn't really that manager at all. It just not just in the way that he plays football, but in the fact that he's old, in the fact that he has jumped around from club to club to club, in the fact that he doesn't really bring through young players, he spends quite a lot of money. He's not that manager for me. I don't really want him at all. So he'd be bottom of my list. Brendan Rodgers would be pretty close. I'd really love to see Arsenal go young, if I'm honest. That I'd love them to see them go young.
I agree with Carlo Ancelotti. You said everything I was going to say. I really want somebody that's invested in the club, and not that Ancelotti wouldn't be, but I mean, he's been everywhere. He's won everything. What else does he have to do? There's nothing that he's not going to be fired up to revive a team that's sort of sputtering. Which, I mean, honestly, after hearing what Gazidis had to say, Arteta and Vieira are looking like the two front runners, and I'd be happy with either one.
Hmm. Yes. I mean, the bookies have... I think the bookies have Vieira's favourite, and then I think Ancelotti's up there, I think Arteta's up there, and I think Brendan Rodgers is up there as well. They seem to be the big four.
It's like a 50-50 chance.
It's a 50-50 chance, yeah. What would you think of Arteta, Henry? Would you be happy with Arteta?
I like the idea, but I would prefer Nagelsmann or Vieira simply because they've been in the hot seat. That's my only...
I think that's fair enough.
I mean, I know for a fact that he's in charge of the warm-ups prior to games at Manchester City, and obviously, as you said, he's very highly rated over there. But it's a case for me, if we're going to go young, I'd prefer... My preference is Nagelsmann simply because... It's a case of, I know he's not at the biggest club in the Bundesliga, but I would put the Bundesliga at a higher level than Major League Soccer. So it's just a case for me of, I do kind of want the mesh of a young manager with the ideals that I like, with the kind of age that I like, with the qualifications, I guess, that I like as well. It's going to be different for everyone, but that's... Nagelsmann is my personal choice as of now, without... me doing any good research on any candidate whatsoever.
Yeah. One name who hasn't come up in our discussion at all, who has been strongly linked, is Thierry Henry.
No.
What would you think, Josh, if Thierry Henry was the next Arsenal manager?
I don't know. I guess I... it's kind of an anticlimactic answer, but I'm just indifferent about it. I mean, I if he was appointed, I'd be like, cool, you're not going to find anyone that loves the club more. I mean, he's worked with the club. He's worked with a lot of the youngsters that are coming up now. But, I mean, honestly, I've given it so little thought that I'm kind of in that same boat as Henry where I don't really have anything to offer to this. I would be surprised if he was in the mix.
Me too.
But I don't know why I would be surprised because he has all those things. But
I mean, for me, it's a similar case to Arteta. Never been a number one, and that's a big role. It was the same kind of criticism of Ryan Giggs. When he was linked with the Manchester United job. He's now obviously at Wales, of course. But it's just a case of, I do like the idea of going young. That all sounds great. But then there's a very thin line between risk and rewards in that capacity.
Yeah, no, that's true. I would be very nervous if Henry was Arsenal manager. Just because, I mean, firstly, he is an absolute legend. And if I've said many times that Arsene Wenger's in my top five men, just full stop. It's like my dad, my two granddads, and then Wenger.
Well, not me.
Well, fifth. Yeah, fifth, it could very well be Thierry Henry. So he is right in the running for my top five men, and I'd be very worried that he would scupper that pedigree and that reputation because I don't think he'd do a very good job, and I think it would really tarnish his reputation at Arsenal, and I think that would be a real shame.
I mean, for me, you look at Vieira in a similar way, but it might just be me, but I just look at Vieira and I just go, even if I think he's struggling, I think he would be able to deal with the criticism better than Thierry would. I mean, not just because of the fact that he's a big, dominating, powerful central midfielder, or that he used to be. It's just the case of, that's just my personal opinion of it, and that's completely wrong to hold as a bias, even without any of them having been offered or the job, or offered an interview for the job, for that matter. But that's just my kind of reading of it.
I did want to speak to Vieira again about why. I mean, obviously there's risk involved in appointing someone that hasn't been to the Premier League or hasn't managed in the Premier League. But, I mean, and I've said this many times, the things that really stood out for me when he took over NYCFC were he was walking into a club that was brand new, that didn't really have a direction. They were struggling to get started. Mm. And as soon as he stepped in, the club has improved every single season since he took over. And yes, it is just the MLS, but it doesn't mean it's any easier to succeed in a league with limited resources. And he's not only is he pushing the club, but he's been, you know, he had the responsibility of dealing with an Andre Pirlo that didn't fit with his philosophy. And Pirlo is a living legend. It's hard to sort of tell this guy, you don't really fit in here, we're going a different direction, and he did. He had no problem with it. And, you know, it's even gotten to the point now, David Villa is kind of on the outside looking in, and there's nobody that's too big for Patrick Vieira to say, you're not working out here. And that's sort of one reason why I think he'd be perfect, is even if something isn't working, he's not afraid to change things. He's not afraid to ruffle feathers, to do something that might be unpopular if he thinks it's going to be right for the club. And we that's all we've seen from him since he came to NYCFC, and there's no reason why we wouldn't see that exact same thing at Arsenal.
The one thing that I've also gathered from the press conference is that Wenger would be open to a sporting director role. And honestly, if you wanted to assemble the backroom staff of dreams, Sanlehi, Mislintat, Wenger, I'm all for that. Because as I said earlier, recruitment over the years is fantastic. You don't question that when you question his legacy.
Would you want him involved in the succession plan, like Ferguson was at United?
Yes. Yeah. Because
nodding, Josh. Because, by the way, doesn't
yes. Because yes, I would.
We've highlighted that we want people with his character, his characteristics, and his brand of football, if you will. Surely, there's no one better at identifying that than him.
Hmm.
As in, especially in a younger person who he could see has the hunger and the desire to change the culture and to change the fortunes of our club.
I think one of the things that held Wenger back, at least in recent history, was just him wanting to do everything and wanting what's best in every single facet of the game. So if you put him at sporting director and you get him focusing his attentions on that one specific role, I think you would see the very best of Arsene Wenger yet again.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I'm less tentative about whether he should be involved in the succession plan. I wouldn't be against it at all, but I'm not sure I'd be like, oh, he has to be involved. But certainly, if he is interested in some form of board role or director role, get him in. And I think the worst thing that happened for United when Ferguson left was that he didn't take a director role or anything like that, but he still kept coming to all the games. Even the away games, he was still there. And that did not help David Moyes, and it even didn't help Louis van Gaal after Moyes at all. Because while Ferguson wasn't officially involved with the club, he was actually still very involved with the club. And there was no definition to that situation at all. If Ferguson had been given an official role, an official title, I think the whole situation would have been far clearer. Or if he'd have just stepped away completely and not turned up to the games and completely distanced himself from the club. And I feel that Wenger should really do the same. He should either be a board member or a director or some form of role like that, or he should kind of step away from the club completely and distance himself a little bit. And maybe that means getting a new manager's job, and obviously that would do it for him, but I think for me, it has to be one or the other. You can't have him in between. You need to go whole hog with him being involved in the club, or he needs to step away completely. Is there anything else that either of you have to say before we wrap up?
No.
No. Right. Well, that's it. The Wenger era has, what is it, 5 games, 6 games to go, depending if we get to the Europa League final?
Let's go. I like the sound of something, that. Something like Atletico that. Lost, that, so let's go. It's going to be a great game now.
Yeah, was it 3-0 they lost?
I'm so looking forward. It was 3-0, but I'm so looking forward to it now because the Emirates will be buzzing. Buzzing, buzzing, buzzing.
Yeah, which really, I was in the break. I was saying to you guys, I tried to get tickets, or went on the website to try and get tickets, and the website was down because there was so many people on the website trying to get tickets. And the atmosphere in the Emirates, not on Sunday, even in a relatively meaningless game, and also against Madrid and in the away leg as well, I think will be. I put it this way, Arsenal have a better chance of beating Madrid now than they did 12 hours
ago. Certainly seems so.
Yeah, absolutely. And so the Wenger era will come to a close. I'm genuinely upset. I was close to tears this morning. I'm close to tears again.
I am in tears.
Goodbye, Arsene Wenger. Thank you very much for listening, everybody. You can find us at all the usual places, and we will see you next week after Arsenal's first game post the Wenger goodbye. See you later.